Hi, this is Daniel Garber the Movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Lindy is a 16-year-old girl living with her single mom who recently moved back to her small city and home her mother grew up in. She's beautiful, smart, and personable and fits right in at her new school. Soon, she has a best friend, a place on the track team, and a potential boyfriend she really likes. But everything falls apart when she discovers she has a rare medical condition called MRKH. She was born without a uterus and a smaller vagina, which makes it impossible to have conventional intercourse with her boyfriend. She's facing a crisis but is terrified of telling anyone about it. Can her doctor's grueling regimen allow her to return to, quote, normalcy? And will she ever fit in with society's standards? Fitting In is a funny, endearing, and delightful new dramedy, a coming-of-age story about a teenage girl learning to accept her body. It's directed by award-winning filmmaker and writer Molly McGlynn, known for movies like Mary Goes Round and TV shows, including Working Moms and Grown-ish. This film had its premiere at TIFF, and I'm very pleased to have Molly McGlynn here with me on site at TIFF to tell us more about Fitting In. Hi, Molly. Thanks so much for being with me.
Thank you so much. What a great summary of a complex plot. I will just say the film world premiered at South by Southwest, but this is our Canadian premiere,
Canadian premiere.
We are in Toronto.
I didn't say world.
Yeah, we are celebrating Toronto.
Wonderful. Molly, I understand this movie is based partly on real experiences that you went through. So can you tell me which parts are real and which were put into the film for the sake of continuity and...
Yeah, the film is largely based on my experience being diagnosed with MRKH when I was 16. I had a single mom at the time who was struggling with breast cancer.
Yes, exactly.
In reality, I'm the youngest of five daughters, so there was a lot more women in the house. You know, I said to the actors on set, I said, a lot of this is very truthful, but I did not look like Maddie Ziegler at 16, nor did any of the people in the movie. You know, it's sort of like the teenage fantasy of what everyone looks like. And then you look at your old yearbook and you're like, oh my God, that was the guy.
Exactly. There's some movies about disabilities or handicaps or physical differences that go take the weeper path.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't do that. You keep it funny and interesting. How come?
While I would classify this in many ways as a personal or identity tragedy at one point, I've evolved beyond that in seeing it as a point of difference that has given me a way to be more empathetic, to think of things differently. And ultimately, while this condition is significant, and I'm not trying to diminish that, I am lucky for my health, my well-being. I think the world is at a crisis and an inflection point. And I think some levity in talking about our personal differences is necessary. And just trying to like destigmatize this stuff because all of us have so many problems. And maybe we can just kind of clear some of this baggage out a little bit.
So let's get a little bit into the nitty gritty. After meeting her doctor, Lindy is given an innocent looking, almost colorful set of things, but they're dildos of some sort.
They're called dilators, but in the movie it's like sort of she refers to them as medical dildos essentially.
Right.
It's not something you'd expect to get at the doctor, but it is true.
And in the movie at least she's portrayed as going through intense pain. It's like terrible what they were doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not a comfortable process necessarily. And I do just want to point out that people use dilators for all sorts of things. There's a range of conditions, for menopause or trans women have used them. So there's actually people who have not had MRKH said, oh my gosh, I had to use them and I've never seen that. And thank you. They are very funny props to have on set, I will tell you that much. In between takes once, I saw some crew members they threw a dilator across the room or something, and I popped my head out, and they were like, oh my God, Molly, we're so sorry. We're not trying to, like, minimize any. And I laughed. I was like, it's okay. It's so, I mean, it's absurd. And my sense of humor is okay with that. Maybe some other people's wouldn't, but, like, it's just a thing.
But the humor is what kept the movie going. It was so funny and so good.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can be a tremendous source of pain, but it is also incredibly absurd as well. So,
Maddie Ziegler is remarkable as Lindy. She carries the whole movie, but I don't think I've ever seen her before.
Mm-hmm.
How is she brought into this film?
I had seen her in this film, The Fallout, that Megan Park directed, about a school shooting aftermath, and she was in that film, and she really struck me as someone to watch, and my agency with WME introduced me to her and said, we want you to meet Maddie, and I was like, oh, interesting, but I saw Maddie as someone who was so beautiful, so perfect, you know, at least from afar, everything seems like one thing, and they said, just meet her. And she showed up with wet hair and Converse and ordered a cookie. And I was, like, just really endeared by how she showed up. And she is a young woman, but has incredible gravitas and power. And it was just a guttural sort of soul, yes.
One thing that bugs me about a lot of lower-budget Canadian movies is they're set in a small town or small city. And when you go to the movie, everyone's white.
Mm.
But yours was not, and which isn't like mm-hmm. what Canada is.
No,
like, but,
it's so diverse.
But your movie, I'm talking about, like, DeFaro, Una Ties, Adam, her boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
Juliet Amara mm-hmm. as Vivian, her best friend, and Kai Griffin as mm-hmm. Jack. So what I'm curious about is, did you envision this when you wrote the script, or was it just sort of open casting, see who's good for it?
Truly, these were the best people for the role. Kai Griffin is a UK-based intersex actor. I would not shoot the film without finding someone intersex. I was struggling. A lot of casting directors do not just didn't have a roster, and I posted something on Instagram. Kai responded, sent a tape. I fell in love with them. They're a person of color, but the character is someone who had swag, was sexy, cool, grounded.
They were excellent.
Yeah, Kai fit the bill. Juliet Amara, I directed in an Apple TV show called The Big Door Prize. Met her. She was incredible, happened to be a person of color. And DeFaro Wunatai, I needed a teenage heartthrob that upon first shot, you would understand why a teenage girl would be enamored. And he had the face and the charm.
There's a scene where she goes to an LGBT meeting at her high school, and either they reject her, or more likely she rejected herself.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
I think the scene where she goes to an LGBTQI...
Yes.
A
Sorry,
2S plus.
Soup,
no, I'm trying to get the alphabet
yeah.
soup. She almost felt out of place there, and like she didn't fit the bill of that space. And that's something that I felt of like, what group? I'm not this. I don't know what group I am in, or will they reject me? If it sort of felt like you don't really apply to any group here. But of course. Again, it's like our obsession with identity labels. I just wanted to see that sort of insecurity and confusion around those spaces.
And finally, you said this play earlier is premiered at South by Southwest. Were you approached by any people who had similar or knew people with the same problems? And what was their reaction? How did they take this film?
That has been the most meaningful part of all this. After our screening today at TIFF, I had about 10 women with MRKH in the green room, and I've never met them, and just seeing tears in their eyes, and one of the teen girls' mom was there and burst out crying, and I don't know any of these people, and just with a look, we have understood a large part of our experiences in the world. But after our South By screening, there was a young woman on the street who I think had some developmental disabilities, and she came up to me and said she had a lot of tears in her eyes, and she said, "Your film made me feel like I can say I'm beautiful." And that just, I mean, I just hugged her. And, you know, at the end of the day, to have that young woman have just the turn of heart to say she's beautiful and think she's worthy of love, which she is, I mean, there's nothing more in the world I want than that. That's better than any review or anything.
It's an amazing response to an amazing film. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Molly McGlynn, director of Fitting In. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.